Christmas 2020 could be an interesting Christmas. And I think a few thousand years ago, there was no Christmas. There wasn't any sort of holiday like we have today. There were other holidays and events, but it was, you know, it always revolved around their religious cultures, whether you be Jewish or Roman or Greek, or if you're somewhere in Asia or wherever it may be, you had different holidays and events, but there was no Christmas. And it would seem that this holiday that we celebrate now, which people argue is it, you know, some based in some pagan thing or whatever, I don't really care. Because at the end of the day, the whole point and purpose of Christmas for a Christian is to stop and remember what happened, to be reminded of these things that we celebrate and hold so dear. But a few thousand years ago, there was no Christmas. It didn't exist. And yet, it seems like something happened. Something in history happened. Because a few folks decided to get together and record and write down some things that happened that they felt was important enough that they wanted other generations to know about it, not just verbally with an oral tradition, but with a written tradition too. And this thing that began to happen, this whatever it was that happened with the arrival of this person named Jesus on earth, it inspired people to do something different, to live a different way, to be a different kind of person, to teach different things, a faith and a belief that was radically different than what any other faith or religion or God in the world had ever demanded of those who follow. Something happened. And if, in fact, it was something that caused a lot of people to write about it. In fact, that's what one of the authors we're going to look at today, which is Luke. If you ever pause to notice when Luke begins to write his gospel, he writes that many people have tried to write about what happened. Many people. How many? We don't know how many, but it's many. And this is unusual for a few thousand years ago. Or even if you want to take a liberal perspective, say 1900 years ago. Because writing was really an intensive, expensive, highly educated process. You just didn't go to the local Office Max and grab a notebook and a pencil and start writing. You had to be a well-trained, well-taught scribe in order to write in this time. And you didn't do your scribe services for free. You charged for them. And you charged quite a bit. From what we understand and know, given some ancient documentation, that in today's dollars to write a document such as Luke, to put that together and edit it and have it go through all of the maturations with the scribes and everything else, would probably be about 75 to 100 grand. So you didn't just go about to write things, and yet in this case, many people have set out to write an account about the events that happened a few thousand years ago around this person by the name of Jesus. And they used eyewitness reports and accounts, as did Luke. He went and he tried to talk to people and get an idea of what happened and put an orderly account together. Luke had been hired by another person to go put this account together, because apparently there were many accounts and maybe they were kind of conflicting or didn't agree or maybe were different, and some wrote about some things and others about others. Do you kind of get the sense that something important happened? Something happened enough that people would stop to write this down, to document it. Something happened. And as it turns out in this story, Luke would begin to capture some things that are interesting. He would begin to look back into Jesus' initial family life. And he, would go and maybe talk to people who knew Mary. Maybe Mary's still around, the mother of Jesus, and he's talking to her about some of these events, or perhaps he's talking to family. We know that Jesus' half-brother, at least one of them, is still around at this time. And perhaps he's talking to him to kind of find out what happened. What was it like to be there? Can you imagine being Luke and interviewing people about Jesus because something happened? Something triggered them to say, we've got to document this. And he goes and he hears about Mary and what happened with her and how an angel came and announced to her, you're going to give birth to the Messiah and his name shall be Yeshua, Jesus. And it's enough to just kind of set Mary off that she heads off to spend some time with a relative of hers by the name of Elizabeth. Anyone heard this part of the story? She heads off to spend some time with a relative. Some will say cousin, some will say aunt. The truth is, we don't know. She was a relative. And as it turns out, Elizabeth, who's kind of up in years, a little older in age, is also pregnant, about 6 months ahead of Mary. And that's a whole scene in and of itself. Angels are involved in that one too. And it turns out that Elizabeth is going to give birth to someone by the name of John the Baptist, is going to be the cousin of Jesus. You've got angels in the mix. Just imagine the story. Something happened. And it's enough that the father of John the Baptist, he was a priest, his name was Zechariah, penned a poem about his son, John the Baptist. He penned a poem about him. And it's kind of interesting what he puts in the poem. This is from Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist. And you, my little son, that's John, will be called the prophet of the Most High, because you will prepare the way for the Lord. You will tell his people how to find salvation through forgiveness of their sins. This thing that the prophets of old have talked about and long for, this Savior who's going to come and deliver Israel has arrived. And the angels and the priests and the people and the moms are asking folks to believe this. Something's happening. Something's happening in our world, in our culture, in our time. He goes on to say this, because of God's tender mercy, I love this language, the morning light from heaven is about to break on us to give light to those who sit in darkness, in the shadow of death, and to guide us to the path of peace. I love this language because here's Zechariah, this priest in the temple, who's reflecting back on a story that it's the story he starts with. It's the story of in the beginning. There was God, and he was hovering over the darkness, the deep of the darkness, and he said, let there be light, and light dawned and broke over the darkness. And Zechariah is looking at his son and saying, the Messiah is here. The light has come back to earth. And he puts it into the same sort of level as that moment of creation. It's breaking over the darkness again. Something's happening. Something's happening. This light from heaven, which, just as an aside, the nerd part of me sits, kind of has to pause and go, okay, they're in Jerusalem. This is a priest in the temple who's writing this poem about his son. Isn't that where the light of God is supposed to be? There was an event that happened where this guy by the name of Moses led Israel out of Egypt, and there was a pillar of fire, of light, that led them, do you remember this? By night. And when they got the tabernacle made, God came and he occupied the tabernacle with light. Isn't this where light is supposed to be? So how is it, just the nerd part of me goes, how is it that Zechariah the priest is saying, yeah, there's been no light here. We've been in darkness. But the light has returned. And this light is going to guide us to the path of peace. And you know what happens when this light guides you to the path of peace? Just imagine, just think of the language. You're following a light, right? And you get to the path, and here you are, and you find the path, and the light says, there it is. There's the path. And most of us would turn to the light and say, what, you mean I have to walk the path too? I got to follow this? Are you kidding me? No, the light will lead you there. But we've got to walk the path of peace. This birth of Jesus, something happened. Something happened. So much so that as Luke is talking to people and interviewing them, he comes across this story, maybe some eyewitnesses, maybe relatives or perhaps even some of the actual shepherds that were in a field one night and had the craziest thing happen to them. Just crazy. There were shepherds. They were in a field. And they were just outside of Bethlehem. They're out actually in the fields where David, King David, would walk. And they're out there and they're doing their sheep thing, right? They're guarding their flocks. And suddenly an angel of the Lord appears, another angel. Something's happening. And the radiance, the light of the glory of God surrounded them. And they were terrified, rightfully so. Trust me, you might be a modern Western Christian, but if an angel shows up at your house, you're going to freak out. You will. You are going to freak out. And then you're going to second guess whether you should tell anybody you saw an angel, because they might think you're crazy. Right? Yeah, they don't want to go for treatment. But the angel reassured them, don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news. Something good is happening, not just great, not just amazing, but something good. And it will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. Just, they're out, they're doing their shepherd thing, and here comes an angel making this announcement, and you can get the sense of the excitement in the angel's voice. Can you believe it? Everything that the prophets and God had spoken of, the promises, here, it's happening. The light that dawned over creation is dawning again on earth. Something big is happening. And you'll recognize him by this sign, the angel says. You'll find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger, because there aren't a million of those laying around. And suddenly, the angel is joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven praising. It's like one angel. Here's kind of how I imagine it. So God's like, okay, you can go give them the news. And it's like one big angel scramble. And you've got like a super fast angel that like got there first. Hey, guys. Okay, the Savior's been born in this... the city of David in Bethlehem. He's wrapped in like some, we just saw it up on the screen. He's wrapped and he's like in this manger thing. And then, oh, guys, you're here. And the rest of the crew shows up and they're all excited. Because something important, something great, something good is happening for all people. They're praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. It would seem as though peace and light have arrived on earth. Something important, something big, something great happened. And here's Luke collecting these stories and giving them to his scribe and having them put them together. And you can you imagine being Luke, listening to these people talk about their stories and tell them what happened? And just saying, yeah, man, we were out just feeding the sheep. And next thing you know, it's like heaven showed up. Really? And then what happened? Something great, something big, something that caused many people to try to write about this happened. And it's something that's good for all. What would begin to happen is Jesus grows up. And can you imagine? Just kind of stop and think about how all these events unfold. You're a shepherd in the field. You have these events happen to you. And then you go about your life being a shepherd. It would be 3 decades, 30 years before Jesus would begin his ministry. And nothing else has really happened. You haven't really heard any other stories. He's just growing up. He's just growing up and being a boy in his mother and father's house, doing what boys do, being problems for their moms. Right? That's just what they do. Grabbing dad's tools and misusing them and leaving them out in the dirt, just like kids do. Find them in the spring. There they are. There's my hammer. And they go about all of this, just life in general, this great event that has occurred. And Jesus has his ministry. And as you begin to read about what Jesus is doing, and you put it in the context of great joy for all people, this good news, this peace on earth, this light that has dawned, it turns out that there's a lot of people that aren't interested in the kind of peace that Jesus is bringing. Because as it turns out, in order to really find true peace, he's going to have to shake some things up a little bit. And not everybody liked that. Not everybody was a fan of that. And they would watch what he would do, the miracles that he would perform, the teachings that he would teach, and he would leave people in awe. Something big had happened, something great, something noteworthy had occurred, and people had to talk about it, and they thought, we've got to communicate this to later generations. We can't lose sight of what happened here. The Messiah, peace, the light of God has shown up on earth again. This is a great day. This is a great day. And he's trying to teach us what it is that we need to know, and we're trying to understand what he's saying, but it's really hard. And it wouldn't be until long after he had been here and after he had gone, his death, burial, and resurrection, and after he had departed, that other disciples and apostles of his would come along and they would begin to look at these events and they would put it in the context of this Old Testament Hebrew Bible that they had, and they would begin to piece things together, no pun intended. They begin to piece things together about what he said and what he was here to do. And as it turns out, what we thought he would do, what we think he should have done, which is peace on earth, we think when we hear peace on earth, we think that that means that we're all getting along, that there is no war, that there's no hunger, there's none of these. We have visions. Just think, when I say peace on earth and what does that mean to you, many of you will put together something, what it means for you. And we think peace on earth means that thing, but later authors would kind of look back and reflect on everything and say, maybe that peace on earth wasn't what we originally thought. That was one of the problems with Jesus, is he was supposed to overthrow Rome and take over the world. Do you remember this? Sometimes a couple of his disciples, they had this moment this one day where they're like, hey, who's going to be sit on the right side of the king and who's going to sit on the left side of the king? And so they had these conversations about it. And they didn't quite get the answer they wanted, so they sent their mom in to ask Jesus, hey, could you make sure that when you get to the kingdom, you can have my boys sit on the throne, one on the right and one on the left? Helicopter parents were here 2,000 years ago. Because they thought peace on earth meant you're going to come in and crush the kingdoms of the world and direct your own kingdom, and you're going to tell people and you're going to command them and you're going to this and you're going to that, which someday may happen, but that's not why he's here. He's here to bring peace on earth. But the kind of peace he brings is not the kind of peace they were expecting. And it would be the Apostle Paul, someone who didn't walk with Jesus in his day. He wasn't around at the birth and didn't go through all those kind of things. Paul would meet Jesus later after Jesus had gone to heaven. He would spend time with him in kind of a spiritual way. And it would be Paul that would begin to unpack what peace on earth looked like on this great event, this thing that happened. And here's what it would look like. It would look like this. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God while we're on earth because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. Do you understand how big of a deal this is? That you and I right now in this moment can have peace with the one who spoke light over creation. That you and I can have peace with the one who led a nation by fire out of slavery. That you and I can have peace with one who showed up as light on earth. You and I can have peace as the God who came to give himself on a cross for you and for me. You and I can have the kind of peace on earth so that God can be with us where we go. We can be in his presence as we walk. That is peace on earth. Everywhere you and I go, we are at peace with God. And this has huge ramifications. I mean, this is amazing ramifications, because there are people, God-loving, Jesus-loving Christians all around the world, who believe, who struggle, who wrestle with having peace with God. They feel and believe like they're still in a big struggle and a big fight with God. That we're in some sort of unbalanced equation where I've got to do enough and I've got to do the right things, and if I do too much of the wrong, then I'm not in peace anymore. Our world is full of that kind of faith, and it's wrong. Something great happened for all people. And Paul catches it. You can have peace with God through your faith. Peace with the one who called you his image. And you can have it on earth right now. It had nothing to do with kingdoms or wars, or any of those kind of things. That will all be dealt with the second time he shows up. But this time, the one who brings peace on earth is the Prince of Peace, and we can have it with him right now. This is a great thing. It was good news for all people, that you and I don't have to be in a wrestling match any longer with God. That simply through faith, following, doing what he's asked us to do, not stopping what he's asked us not to do, although that's important. But I'm telling you, if you just pick on one of the things that he's asked us to do, like, I don't know, take care of the orphan, your life will be so full, you won't have time to think about the wrong that you want to do. If you concentrate, say, I don't know, on just the widows, your life will be full. If you concentrate on those who are oppressed, maybe those who are trafficked, maybe those who are just run through the system and used for the pleasure of other humans, and you just focus on them, your life will be full. You are at peace with God, even though you are in the middle of just terrors, you can be at peace with God. And perhaps those folks who have been taken through those things can see that they can be at peace with God too, although they have a lot of questions. And it's understandable that there might be a lot of anger for those who've been on the other end of evil. But your peace with God allows you to come in and be a part of their life and minister to them in a way that allows them to see the light, to see the great thing that happened 2,000 years ago. It's good news for all people. I could have added for all time. That's what our season represents. That's what Christmas 2020 is about. That's what Christmas 2021 will be about. It's good news, great joy for all people, for all time, because Jesus brought the light of God. He brought peace on earth, and through him we get to be at peace with God. And then he lays before you and me the responsibility to bring that peace to others. When we bring anything other than peace, we're not bringing what Jesus brought. We're not bringing it. We're bringing another gospel that's probably not good for anybody. And right now, as the world begins to go through, and especially in our country and our time, and man, the divisions are just going crazy, and it's hard to know what to believe and what's true and what's not. But what I can tell you with assurance is what we just read today, it happened. It happened. People wrote about it, many people. It's true. It's good news. This will not change regardless of whatever pandemic may be in progress, whatever political thing may be changed. This is not going to change. Every human has the opportunity to be at peace with God. That's our mission. That's our goal. And hopefully as we go through Christmas, we can keep that in the front of our minds. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for our time this morning. Father, we know that in our culture, it's hard to not see each other, and that means that we'll probably see more and more folks exposed and put at risk. And Father, there's many divisions among us today, even among Christians. My prayer for all of us is that we would just stop and remember this event that happened 2,000 years ago that was good news for us, for me. And that you have left with us the possibility to be at peace with you, with God, and with people. And that we would honor what you did 2,000 years ago by being people who bring peace and this good news. Father, we love you. We thank you. We thank you for what Jesus did. Amen.